Well, welcome back to A Christian's Guide to the Quran. If you'd like a blog or a PDF of the following lessons, both of these are available at this website, Sermon Audio. I've entitled today's lesson of Love and Lies and War. Today we present Lesson 19, which is continuing Surah 2, called The Cow. There's the name given to this particular one. It's the verses 208 to 257. Let's start right out in verse 208. It says, O you who have believed, enter completely into Islam and do not follow the steps of Satan. End of quote. Now, in case anyone listening to or reading this series hasn't figured this out yet, true Muslims consider all non-Muslims to be of Satan and therefore worthy of judgment. Allah grieves in this passage about all the signs that he gave to Israel in exchange for nothing but unbelief. Nevertheless, he says, quote, surely the victory of Allah is near, end of quote. That victory is not one of truth and morality, but the purely human victory of war that he's talking about here. War is decreed to you, and it is hated by you, he says. Indeed, everybody hates war, right? But Muhammad's God reminds them that there are many things that we hate to do that we've just got to do anyway. In fact, they're even going to be asked to wage war in their forbidden month. That seems to me to point to Ramadan, but other scholars see this as one of the 4 months out of the year when it's forbidden for Muslims to kill other Muslims. Whatever, the fact remains that Allah values his Quranic truth so much that it doesn't bother him that it's going to be done in a forbidden month, a war, or that many human lives will be taken. None of that bothers him. He said, those who performed jihad, that's holy war, for the sake of Allah, those hope for Allah's mercy. Now, words like these don't lend themselves to many interpretations. I think you know exactly what Muhammad is saying. Mercifully, the subject changes abruptly in verse 219. Suddenly, we're talking about wine and gambling. Though it is allowed that there are benefits in both, their sin is bigger than their benefits. This is a rather difficult passage. He goes on to say that it's all right to spend what you can spare on such things. Nevertheless, it's quite clear in chapter 5, verse 90 that both vices are forbidden to the Muslim. This could be one of those contradictory deals in Quran, and there's quite a bit in the Quran. Well, here the scripture, our Bible, is a bit more lenient, allowing medicinal wine when nothing else works. One wonders what the benefits of gambling might be in this passage. It says there are benefits in wine and gambling. In fact, the kind of wine that they're talking about here and the drinking that the Bible talks about, one wonders what the benefits of wine would be either. Certainly, ill-gotten profits are not pleasing to a holy God who has promised to provide for his own out of his heavenly abundance. We certainly don't need to gamble, do we? Well, we're almost in agreement with Islam on that one. Let's move on to some marriage laws. Men, you can't marry a polytheist until they submit to your religion. And that term polytheist includes Christians, many gods. The directive goes on to say that it's better to marry a Muslim slave than a free Christian or a free polytheist. Well, we understand that principle too. We in Christ are told not to marry outside the faith. But Islam, here's another one that we probably agree on. Just like Moses, Islam forbids marital intimacy during that monthly time of the woman. But in verse 223, Muhammad compares wives to a field. Women, you need to close your ears on this one. Men are told that they can enter that field whenever they please. And the Christian mutual respect of and for husband and wife is a thing unknown in the Quran. Pity the woman who must be thought of as the personal real estate of a man. In verse 225, perhaps in keeping with the marriage subject, which is the basic theme right now, but also as a general rule, it looks like, Muhammad next explains that Allah will not hold you responsible for your mere utterance in an oath. Yeah, that's what it says. Only what you meant in your heart matters, not what you said. Oh gosh, the ramifications of such a teaching are shattering. Contracts, marriage vows, oaths of office, hello? None of them must be taken at face value when heard from a true Muslim. In his heart, he harbors the truth of what he has just said, but in your ears is something else. How could one ever do business with such a person? Moving on to divorce laws. The only stipulation given by Allah for divorce is that they wait for the divorce 4 months after their last intimacy to be sure that their wives are not pregnant. If they are pregnant and they want to be reconciled, the wives, it's strongly advised that the man comply. Seems to me that they would know long before 4 months. Maybe he had some knowledge back in those days that we don't. Anyway, waiting is the only regulation in divorce. Here is given a certain amount of compassion and justice for the woman, indeed, but disregard for the state of marriage, which is not to be broken by man at all, according to the God of the Bible. We readily admit Moses allowed divorce, but according to Jesus, it was because of the hardness of heart of people, not according to the heart of God. So here's one after Moses and after the upgrade given by Jesus, saying he is God, and he's pulling mankind back into the hardness of humanity against the ways of God. Once more we see Allah going in the wrong direction. In verse 230, the complicated divorce remarriage process is spelled out more. This time, in contradiction even to Moses, says if a man divorces and then remarries the same woman, then divorces her yet again, he can't take her back until she's had marital relations with another man. Now, the scriptures totally forbid that. Once the woman is gone, has had relations with another man, you can't take her back. The only exception to that rule in the Bible... Jeremiah. The only exception Jeremiah gave was God himself. Oh, this is a poignant, I love this passage above most of the prophecies. It's so tender to see that God lowers himself below his own laws, our God. He says, yeah, this is awful. And Muhammad needs to know, and people who follow him need to know, this is awful. It's confusion. Is somebody's going and sleeping with somebody else and married to somebody else and then comes back and says, I want to be your wife now. No, we're not to do that, says Moses. But God says, I love you so much. I really want you to come back to me. I don't care. I forgive that. Wow. Well, whatever you do, says Allah, don't keep your spouse in unfairness. And that is to do them some harm. Better to divorce them. Agreed. All right. It's all kind of odd, though. All this that we're hearing is odd. But according to the author, this is the most virtuous for you and most pure. And Allah knows and you do not know. End of quote. Maybe statements like this, Allah knows and you do not know, are added occasionally. And you'll see this throughout the book as I'm reading. I'm seeing this. Because listeners to this are maybe invisibly scratching their heads. They don't want to do that visibly because they'll get their heads cut off. But they're scratching their heads inside and saying, what's going on? I don't understand this. Even as we are scratching our heads now as we read some of these strange things. Isn't it so much better to hear Jesus say, the two shall become one flesh. And therefore, what God has made one flesh, let no man separate. Oh yeah, there's unfaithfulness. But call it unfaithfulness. Put aside all the elaborate rules that we're supposed to follow after we've sinned. The only thing we do after we've sinned is confess that sin. He moves on to breastfeeding now. Wow. That's enjoined on the mother. I think that's a good deal here. The father, even if he's divorced, has the right to demand this breastfeeding from the wife or the ex-wife for 2 years, even though they're not living together, as long as he provides the necessary clothing and so on. Once more, we have here a rule that allows for divorce and provides for it, rather than agreeing with the higher teachings of Jesus. More provisions regarding divorce follow, and we'll pass them by, except to mention that it is suggested in this passage that Muslims are permitted more than one wife at a time, not just allowed a series of divorces. This topic will reappear with more specificity later. We'll talk about it then. Next, a quick reminder to engage in war for the sake of Allah, followed by a supposedly biblical example of such. Of this example, we can only say Muhammad made a very serious mistake. This is wrong. Now, I know that the normal argument is, well, you Christians subverted your Bible, and this is the real story right here. Well, in fact, there's no documentation for that. We talked about that in the introductory materials. I won't go into it now. I think he just plain old got confused here, all right? He didn't know the Bible perfectly. He was speaking out loud, and he confused stuff in his head. This is what happens. Now, if you know your Bible, and here we can authoritatively question whether that was true of Muhammad, but you know that the early people of Israel did come to the prophet Samuel, and they asked him for a king, and that's what happens in verse 246 here in the Quran. No problem. But what is Samuel's response in the Quran? He tells them that they must wage war if they want a king. Well, not exactly. But anyway, this so discouraged them that many of them turned back. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, that sounds like the Gideon story, your thinking will soon be confirmed. Samuel tells the Israelites that, and this is in the Quran, in connection with this coming battle, the ark is now going to be brought back to Israel by angels. Well, actually, the ark had already been sent back to Israel by Philistines, who suddenly didn't want the ark. You know the story. The ark incident had nothing to do with their desire for a king. Nevertheless, here suddenly is Saul ready to go out to fight. I mean, they were asking for a king. Now they got this. Anyway, they got a battle coming up. He gathers his troops together and he tells them God's now going to test them at a river. Whoever drinks the water from the river directly, you know, is not of God. No, they must scoop by their hand and drink it. Ooh. And again, you meekly suggest, Gideon, isn't this the story of Gideon? And you're right. The scene quickly changes to David killing Goliath, facts which do seem to be in order. Both of these stories are related, however incorrectly, to make a point. The point is, if you want to be on God's side, you have to wage war. Quote, Allah gives conquest to some people over others, end of quote. Well, the far greater and more significant truth for the Christian is that we don't fight against people at all, but against demons who rule this present world. It's an awful thing to miss this point, folks. Rome missed it. Some Protestant groups missed it. The Mormons missed it. And definitely this prophet we study now, who claimed to be God's final messenger to the world, he missed it. We can categorically say that any group that thinks that political or military power is necessary to champion righteousness in the world has already been defeated. The most powerful person who ever lived on this planet had a handful of disciples, and he resolutely refused political power and the strength of weapons. And yet, look at his following today. Read of his following tomorrow. The entire world will be his forever. Of course, sadly, Muhammad and all who are taught by him cannot believe such a thing. In fact, in the very next section where we're reading here, the Quran tells again of the coming of the prophets and Isa, Jesus. Though Isa is given a very special place, still there's no indication in this passage or any passage that he's anything other than a special prophet. Well, he was given the proofs, perhaps miracles there. He was given the support of the Holy Spirit, it says. That's a strange phrase to come out of Muhammad's mouth, the Holy Spirit. Still, Allah does what he wants. And he now speaks new truths. About what? About war, for one. Yes, quote, if Allah willed, they, followers of Jesus, would not engage in war. And that has been Jesus' will and the will of God's people. But Muhammad rushes on to say, those days have passed. Allah wills war now. Allah does what he wants. Things have changed. Well, finally today, the verse that many Muslims quote to show Christians that they do not force their religion on anyone. Even after the long passage that we just came out of about waging war being so pleasing to God, it says simply in verse 256, no compulsion in religion. Indeed, the right way is made distinct from the error. Muhammad says, hey, we don't need to force the issue. The truth speaks for itself. Nevertheless, there is a further truth than this in the Quran. Some would say that this verse that I just read is even abrogated altogether. I taught you about abrogation, right? Abrogated altogether by that further truth. For example, in 9:5, which we'll get to much later, I think, merciless slaughter of all polytheists is commanded. What about the self-obvious truth of Islam there? In 9:5, are we to believe that the merciful, the knowing Allah, is merciful no more after a certain point? If we Christians don't get it, you should kill us? That's what my Quran says. But my Bible, well, my Bible surely allows for a judging God. He is the judge and will judge the earth, but also a God for whom the death of the wicked is not a pleasant thing. How his heart yearns for all to be saved. Amen? If you're not going to say it, I'm saying it. Amen. Thank you for listening today. Next time in Lesson 20, we will finally, I do believe, conclude Surah 2, the longest chapter in all the Quran, is now just about finished. We're going to be looking at some interesting stories about Abraham, a discussion of alms and interest, and then we can finally enter into Surah 3. Let's do that next time, okay? All quotations, by the way, from the Quran have been taken from the Generous Quran, a copyright of 2009, used by permission of Usama Dakdak Publishing, LLC. And God bless you today. Bye-bye.